Thank you, Mr. Parrish. Good afternoon, everyone. It is good to be here on God's Sabbath day. I don't know about you, brethren, but I'm starting to get feast fever. Do you realize the Feast of Trumpets is just 3 weeks from this coming Monday? Be here before we know it. Well, today, I would like to relate to you an experience I had, now about 25 years ago. I had just graduated from college. I was newly baptized in God's church, had just been baptized about 6 months. I had read a lot of the church's literature, and I was interested in meeting girls. I wanted to learn about dating God's way. I wanted to get to know some young ladies in God's church. And on this one occasion, I was blessed to be going out for an evening entertainment. I had asked a young lady from the local congregation to accompany me. And I thought, we're not just going to go to a run-of-the-mill movie or something like that. I thought, well, let's think of something a little more creative, a little more original. And so I had selected a variety show that was being offered in a local community theater. And it was a nice evening. As I recall, there was some singing and some dancing and some little skits and things like that. It all seemed to be well done, and I thought the evening was going well. Until this one little skit came along. And I'll tell you, brethren, I started to get a little bit uncomfortable. Because this skit was about a man and a woman who were not married, but they had had an adulterous affair way back in the past. And then they met again every year on their anniversary. Well, again, as this continued, I started feeling more and more uncomfortable. I thought, what is my date going to think about this? I can just imagine her thinking, where have you brought me to see something like this? And then I'd try to reassure myself and say, well, surely she will recognize I didn't have any control over everything that was offered there. I mean, you know, the variety show didn't tell us in the beginning what every single act would be. And I thought, well, maybe it will be okay. Well, finally, this little skit came to a conclusion. It must have only been 10 or 15 minutes long. To me, it seemed like it went on for hours. But finally, it concluded, and there was probably no one in the house who clapped any louder than yours truly, because I was just so happy that it was over. And everyone in the theater was clapping as I glanced around the theater, before me, behind me. Everyone, that is, was clapping, with the exception of one other person. Who might that have been? Well, as you well could guess, it was my date. Because as I looked beside me out of the corner from my eye, I saw my date was not applauding. Her hands were just folded calmly, resting in her lap. She was smiling, but that was all. Oh, no. I thought, Scott, now you've really done it. You've shown your true colors to this young woman, another baptized member of God's church, whom you're really trying to impress and show her just how converted you are. Oh, I was horrified. Well, brethren, that night I learned a valuable lesson, which I remember today very vividly. Because as I said, this happened, 25 years ago. That lesson was not about the treachery of adultery. The lesson was not about the importance of good entertainment or proper dating. No, the lesson was all about the power of a Christian example. And that's going to be the subject of this sermonette today, the power of a Christian example. Turn with me, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to read two verses. 1 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to read verses 11 and 12. Here Paul is writing. He says, let a woman learn in silence with all submission. And I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. Well, brethren, personally, I feel these verses have sometimes been misapplied in God's church by men, using them as a club to put women in their place and keep them there. To say, it's not in your position, your place, to teach me or to say anything to me. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. Likewise, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Here, Peter shows us the other side of that coin. While women are not to be openly teaching or correcting or instructing, according to Paul's admonition, Peter here urges them to win others by example. And he gave them a very powerful tool. That's exactly what happened to me that night so long ago in that theater. My date never said a word to me about the little experience with the skit and my clapping. She never said a word. Her example had said it all. You know, had she grabbed my arm and pulled me aside and said, I really don't think we should be clapping about this. I mean, this has been an example of sin. It's not something that we should be endorsing or applauding or you know, praising like that. Had she said that to me, I wouldn't have been offended. I wouldn't have thought immediately of the words here of Peter or Timothy. I wouldn't have done that at all. I would have just probably thought, oh, you're right. But I surely would not have said, why, how dare you? It's not your place to correct me. I'm a man. I wouldn't have done that. But you know, I probably would not remember that experience nearly as vividly as I do today, because it made a lasting impression. Just her example, without saying word one, it's etched indelibly in my memory even now, 25 years later. You see, example is a very powerful and effective tool. Very much so. You know, some people might think I've been picking or focusing on the women, and that's certainly not the intention at all. But now I want to talk to the men. So women, you can just kind of tune out for a minute, because I'm going to let you men in on a little secret. You've read with me the words of Paul, the words of Peter. But you know what? They did not give women the corner on the market here. No. The women aren't the only one that have this tool available for them. And I've got that on good authority. I've got it from Peter's and Paul's boss. Jesus Christ said something about the same thing. And you know the thing is? He did not qualify it saying, oh, this is for the women. No. He said it's for everyone. Turn with me, please, to read that account in Matthew 5. We're going to read verses 14 and 16. Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. Jesus Christ here speaking, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. God commands all of us here to teach by example, to let our light shine. and be an illumination for others to see. Have you ever heard a light? I don't know that I ever have. I mean, I've got big ears, but I've never really heard a light. I've sure seen a light, though, many times. It's especially if that light is bright and brilliant. That's the kind of example here that Jesus Christ says we, as His people, His children, should be setting. That kind of example we need to make for others to be able to see. Well, brethren, don't underestimate the power of example, because it indeed is incredible. It really works. For any of you who may be wondering how my story ends, I had really just made a mess of the evening, I thought. And you might be wondering, Scott, after you had shown this woman your true colors, you'd made such an oaf of yourself, shown that you really weren't very converted, would she ever be willing to go out with you on another date? Well, the answer is, yes, she did, many times. For you see, today, she's my wife. Thank you, Sherry. I love you.